full control of their abilities. Every time my brother did something that we thought was a miracle, I guess it was actually me doing it because I was nearby and got scared too. Last week, our car skidded into a ditch on the side of the road on the way to my brother's track meet. I must have freaked out or something because I lifted the whole car. You what? I want to do that. Minnie looked horrified. Really? Minnie, you lifted a car when you're so small that I don't think you even register on... Okay, okay. Jeez, I get it. She sounded annoyed, but Aru could see the small smile lifting up the corners of her mouth. As impressed as Aru was, she also felt bad. Minnie hadn't been lying when she said the backpack wasn't hers. It was meant to be her brother's when he went off on his quest. Now Aru understood why Minnie was so hesitant about everything. Not once had Minnie been taught to think that maybe she was supposed to be the hero. Imagine what your family will say when they wake up and realize you saved the world, said Aru. Minnie beamed. Boo fluttered to Aru's shoulder. Come along. We need to find the Court of the Seasons. I know it's in here somewhere, he said. And the second key, right? Said Minnie. Aru glanced at the Mendi design on the side of her hand. The symbol for the second key was a book, but there were no bookstalls in sight. You move so slowly, scolded Boo, and your posture has gotten worse. I don't know how such things are possible. You're so grumpy, said Minnie. Maybe your blood sugar is low. She fished around in her backpack. Here, have an Oreo. I don't want an... But Minnie broke the cookie into small pieces and shoved a bite into his beak. Boo looked outraged for about 5 seconds before he finally swallowed it. What ambrosia is this? He smacked his beak. Give me more. Say please. No. Minnie fed him part of an Oreo anyway. As they made their way into the bazaar, Aru could finally read the three huge signs pointing down the three main paths through the market. Things you want. Things you need. Things you don't want to need. Well, we need to get our armor and the second key. So the second sign? Aru guessed. Boo nodded and off they went. Around them, family clusters streamed toward the three paths. The signs floated above the ground, completely unsupported, and shaped like giant ribbons with hanging tassels. The round, scalloped ends of the tassels reminded Aru of cat paws. As Aru, Minnie, and Boo got closer to things you need, the sign started moving. It skirted around the edges of a shop that sold laptops and computer wiring. They jumped and lunged at the sign, trying to catch it, but the sign kept scooting out of reach. It was dodging them. Hey! We're not playing! Shouted Aru. But the sign wouldn't listen. It moved behind a pack of empty grocery carts. The carts swiveled on their wheels in unison, like a herd of antelope. The sign sneezed, and the grocery cart scattered off in a huff. Why is it making this so difficult? Grumbled Minnie. She had almost walked into a family of tortoise-shelled beings. Boo flapped his wings. You can't just ask for things you need. You have to chase them down. Make yourself known as a worthy recipient. I'll distract it. Then it's up to you two. Boo strutted back and forth in front of the sign, as though he didn't care about it. The sign gradually lowered itself to the ground. It reminded Aru of the way a cat oozes down from a couch, curious to investigate. Boo walked faster and turned a corner. The sign bent around to see where he had gone, and Boo jumped out at it. Gotcha! He shouted. The sign whirled. It arched like a Halloween cat. When it had its back to Aru and Minnie, they crept forward. Aru slunk behind a palm tree, which hissed, "You have no manners, child." Minnie brought out her compact mirror and pulled out an illusion of a candy. "Here, sign," she cooed, waving it around. "Come here, sign. Come here." The second the sign turned, Aru ran up and caught it by one of its dangling tassels. Instantly, the sign went limp. It puddled onto the floor, forming a circle. The circle telescoped into a tunnel. Amethyst steps spiraled down into the dark. Boo perched on Aru's head and looked down the shaft.
"Ladies first."
16. That was so last season. No way was Aru going down those stairs first. And Minnie looked like she was about to faint. "Age before beauty," said Aru, grinning at Boo. Sherilyn, her babysitter, liked to say that line whenever the food trucks came to the museum, and she wanted to order before Aru. Aru didn't mind, though. At least it meant someone thought she was pretty. With a pang, Aru realized she hadn't thought about Sherilyn since the second she lit the lamp. She hoped she was okay. Boo grumbled, but he didn't argue. Instead, he flew into the darkness complaining about the privilege of youth. "In my day, we treated our elders with respect," he huffed. Aru and Minnie walked down the steps. For the first time, Aru felt hopeful. She wasn't sure why. It wasn't like she'd done anything heroic beyond trying to save herself. But she had two companions on her side, and so far, aside from lighting the lamp, she hadn't made anything worse. Was she a heroine if all she did was fix a mistake she made? Or was it heroic because she was willing to fix it in the first place? Aru wasn't sure what to expect ahead. The category, things you need, seemed to cover a wide range of possibilities. For example, she needed water, sleep, food, and air. At the bottom of the staircase, wind rushed past her. But it felt like three different things, one after the other. At first, it was a gust of hot desert air that left her throat parched. Then it became the kind of sticky, humid air that felt like summer in the south. Her pajama top clung to her back, damp with sweat. In the next second, frost spangled across her skin, and Aru shuddered with cold. Beside her, Minnie inhaled sharply. Aru looked up, her eyes widening. Here, there were no shopping aisles, just forest. Aru and Minnie stood in the center, Boo circling overhead. Around them, the forest was divided into six pieces, like a pie. In one section, frost sleeved the tree branches and icicles dangled like ornaments. In the next, a heavy downpour of rain made the trunks difficult to see. The third section was a riot of blossoms, the rich earth bursting with flowers and perfume. The fourth section was bright and dry, sunlight dappling the leaves. In the fifth, the leaves had turned scarlet and gold. The sixth section was a rich, dark green.
"Where are we?" asked Minnie. "It's like we're stuck in all the seasons," said Aru, her voice soft with awe.
"We are," said Boo. "We're in the court of the Rithus, the six seasons. Be on guard. They're brilliant, but horrible."
Aru's heart raced. "Why? Do they eat people?"
"Worse," said Boo, his feathers ruffling. "They're artists."
"I thought there were only four seasons," asked Minnie.
"Four?"
repeated a voice from somewhere in the trees.
"How boring. How bourgeois."
"I don't know about that," said another voice,
this time behind Aru.
I could make summer endless. Imagine that, an installation of infinite fire.
People would burn up, said the first voice.
Good. I don't like people anyway.
Figures from two different seasons made their way toward Aru, Minnie, and Boo. A pale-skinned man with frosted hair and silver eyes sauntered forward first. He wore a shiny blazer and pants that looked as if they were made of glass. When he came closer, Aru saw that it wasn't glass, but ice. Fortunately, it wasn't see-through, but white.
I'm Winter, he said coldly. I'm underwhelmed by your acquaintance.
Summer, said the other, extending a warm hand.
As Summer turned, the light seemed to change the spirit's facial features from feminine to masculine, and back again. Aru's confusion must have showed, because Summer shrugged and said,
Hotness doesn't belong to any one gender.
The spirit winked before flipping their bright gold hair over one shoulder. Summer wore a tunic of flames. Their skin was the color of a smoldering ember, red-veined with fire.
Why are you here?
Winter asked the girls.
Did that wretched sign bring you? Because we're not in the mood to design anything, especially not for random people who haven't made an appointment. Besides, the inspiration to create just isn't there, is it?
It certainly is not, Summer sighed. We only make dresses for the most fabulous of beings.
They glanced at Aru and Minnie, making it clear that they did not consider the girls remotely fabulous.
You're tailors? Asked Minnie.
Did that just call us tailors? Asked Winter, aghast.
Winter bent down to Minnie's height.
My little sartorially challenged slip of a girl, we are ateliers. We dress the world itself. I embroider the earth with ice and frost, the most delicate silk in the world.
I make the earth the hottest thing out there, said Summer with a blazing smile.
From the rainy section of the forest, a third figure appeared, a gray-skinned woman whose hair clung damply to her face. She looked soaked to the bone and delighted about it.
I am Monsoon. I make the world elegant with a dress of water.
A fourth walked up. Vines crawled over her skin. There were flowers in her hair. Her mouth was a rose.
I'm Spring. I dress the earth in jewels, she said haughtily. Show me a ruby darker than my roses. Show me a sapphire brighter than my skies. Impossible. Our other two siblings, Autumn and Pre-Winter, would join, but they are in the outside world, attending to a number of designing needs. All celebrities need an entourage.
She looked down her nose at the three of them.
But you wouldn't understand that.
Do you always travel in pairs whenever you go into the world? Asked Minnie.
I will ignore the fact that you addressed me directly, and will now face the empty space next to you to answer your question, said Spring.
Aru thought this was a bit much and wanted to roll her eyes, but she controlled her impulse.
Of course, said Summer, looking pointedly at the air next to Minnie.
One for the incoming season, one for the outgoing. It's important to keep up with the times. Don't you know anything about fashion?
Aru looked down at the Spider-Man pajamas she was still wearing.
Apparently not, said Summer dryly.
What do you children want anyway? Asked Spring breezily.
Well, we were hoping you could tell us.
Minnie turned redder with each word.
Because, we were led here and,
mocked Summer.
You were led here? By a pea-brained foul-looking fowl? I believe that.
Puns, said Winter, clapping his hands.
How devastating. How delightful. Chic cruelty never goes out of style.
Watch yourself, warned Boo.
Or what? You'll poop on us? Asked Monsoon.
The four seasons started laughing. Aru felt as though someone had grabbed her heart in a tight fist. It was the same acidic feeling she got when she was called out for not arriving to a school in a fancy black car. This was just like Ariel and Poppy taunting and jeering, making her think she was small. But they were wrong. She was Aru Shaw, daughter of Indra. And yeah, maybe she had made an epic mistake, but that didn't make her any less epic. Most important, she had a plan. They needed additional armor to reach the Kingdom of Death safely. Some extra weapons wouldn't hurt either. That's why the sign had led them to the Court of the Seasons. And she wasn't leaving without what she needed. Aru grabbed Minnie's hand. Then she squared her shoulders and tossed her hair. Come on, Minnie and Boo, she said. I'm sure we can find better. Minnie shot her a questioning look. Boo cocked his head. They're not good enough, Aru said, glaring at the seasons. Aru started marching through the forest. The Court of the Seasons was the size of a football field, but she could see an exit sign glowing in the distance. Even without looking back, she could sense the shocked gazes of the seasons. She would have bet all her pocket money that no one had ever walked away from them.
Aru, what are you doing? Hissed Minnie. We need their help.
Yeah, but they don't know that, said Aru. Bring out your compact. Conjure us some big sunglasses and ugly hats, things celebrities would wear.
I hope you know what you're doing, huffed Boo. I don't like groveling any more than you do, but this is no time to be proud.
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
Aru knew because she dealt with it every day in school. That flare of not knowing where you belonged. That craving to be seen and go unnoticed at the same time. Minnie handed her a hat and sunglasses before jamming on her own pair. Even Boo got a pair of bird shades.
These are ridiculous, he snapped.
We're Pandavas,
said Aru, loudly enough for the otherworldly spirits to hear.
We can do better than the seasons.
Leaves crackled behind her.
Did you say Pandavas?
Minnie slowed down as if she was about to turn, but Aru yanked her arm.
Let's not waste our breath, she said.
Excuse me,
said Summer, stepping in front of them. Their voice, which had been blistering before, had turned warm and languid.
Maybe there's been some mistake. Pandavas, you say? As in actual Pandavas?
Obviously, said Aru, lowering her sunglasses and speaking to the air next to Summer's face. I thought you were designers. Aren't you supposed to be able to tell the difference between real and fake things? We're as real as it gets.
Monsoon stepped beside Summer and glared at her sibling.
I knew the whole time. Rain is cleansing after all. It reveals the truth.
Liar!
Shouted Spring, marching over to them.
I spoke to them first, said Winter. I suspected right away.
How can we help you? Asked Summer.
Well, Minnie started. We need armor or weapons.
Aru nudged her.
You can't help us, said Aru, waving her hand. Could you please move? Your shadow is touching mine.
Oh, I am so sorry, said Monsoon apologetically. I didn't mean to.
Whatever, said Aru.
We can make armor and protection. I make the best, exclaimed Winter.
Hmm, said Aru.
She drew out the silence just a beat longer.
Prove it.
Winter, Summer, Spring, and Monsoon nodded as one.
And if my friend here,
Aru jerked her chin in Minnie's direction, who merely adjusted her sunglasses.
Approves? Then I'll accept your measly and puny offerings.
Winter nodded enthusiastically. He opened his hands, and a cloak of delicate ice unraveled before Aru. With a twist of his wrist, it became a diamond bracelet. He presented it to Minnie in a black velvet box.
Throw this on anything, and it will freeze an enemy in their tracks. Plus, it's an excellent accessory. Perfectly understated, very elegant, timeless.
I have something better, announced Spring. You may be Pandavas, but you are children still.
Aru narrowed her eyes, and Spring hastily added,
I don't mean that in an offensive way, of course.
Spring spread her vine-covered arms, and a cube knitted from a thousand flowers floated in front of her. She snapped her fingers, and the cube transformed into a fancy bakery box. She opened it to reveal two little squares, each covered in pink icing with a flower on top.
Petty fours. Bites of rest and rejuvenation, she said proudly. That is what I am known for, after all. From winter's slumber, I create life anew. One bite and you will feel as if you have had several days of rest. Your stomach will be full, and you'll have no bodily aches and pains. It's good for your skin, too. Please do me the honor of eating one, Pandavas.
Curious, Aru took one of the cakes and popped the whole thing in her mouth. Instantly, her feet stopped hurting. She felt as if she'd just woken up from the best nap ever, and still had a whole lot of afternoon left before dinner. It tasted delicate and floral, like one of those expensive rose-flavored cakes her mom brought back from her Paris trips. Way better than an Oreo. Minnie ate hers, too, and a moment later looked like she was glowing.
Well? Asked Spring expectantly.
They're edible, said Aru, taking the bakery box.
They will do.
Monsoon cast a waterfall in front of them, then whispered a few words that shrank the waterfall into a gray pendant. Monsoon presented it to Aru.
This is my gift to you, Pandava. Just as water can go anywhere and reach anything, this pendant, when thrown, will be able to hit any target, no matter how far away. But be warned, regret will always follow. It is the price of aiming true. For sometimes when we take the deadliest aim, we are nothing if not reckless.
Aru didn't think it was fair that only her magical item came with strings attached. But it wasn't like she was in a position to refuse it. The necklace floated from Monsoon's hands and gently encircled Aru's neck. It was cold and a little damp against her skin.
Summer bowed before Minnie.
Pandava, please accept our offering as well, they said.
The air shimmered. Thin flames erupted from the ground. They spiraled into coils and then braided themselves, forming the prettiest headband Aru had ever seen. It looked like it was made of beaten gold, complete with delicate roses and a glittering butterfly, whose wings reminded Aru of stained glass.
My season is one of lazy heat and forgetfulness ripening under a burning sun, said Summer theatrically. Forget can be a powerful tool for distracting an adversary. It can leave them feeling scorched and barren. Whoever wears this will forget something important.
But, can...
Minnie stammered as she stared yearningly at the headband.
A Pandava may wear it without fear.
Minnie nodded slowly, and Aru thought she could see a neon sign flashing above Minnie's head that said, Mine, it's all mine. Mwahahaha. The headband was nice and all, but Aru wouldn't be caught dead wearing one. Headbands made her chin-length hair fan out weirdly around her face, so that she ended up looking like a frilled neck lizard.
By now, they had arrived at the end of the Court of the Seasons. Boo was staring at Aru, stunned. Minnie kept touching her new headband and grinning. Aru patted her necklace.
These things will do, she said rudely. If we find them to our liking, we will recommend you to everyone we know, finished Minnie, smiling,
before she realized she wasn't supposed to smile.
But only if we like them, which we might not.
Oh, thank you, said Winter. Can we perhaps get a selfie? You know, for the Instagram.
Do it for the Insta, also known as the rallying cry of half of Aru's classmates.
I hope they haven't changed the algorithm again. My likes are plummeting, moaned Spring.
Sorry, said Aru. No photos.
Winter's shoulders drooped.
Of course, of course. Thank you for accepting our gifts. You're most kind.
Most generous, said Spring.
Most lovely, said Summer.
Most clever, said Monsoon.
Out of the four of them, only Monsoon held Aru's eye for a moment longer than necessary. But when she smiled, it was with approval, not suspicion. Aru waved her hand like a pageant queen, rotating it slowly at the wrist, before the three of them ducked through the large gateway marked exit. The moment they crossed the threshold, the entrance to the Court of the Seasons closed up behind them. They were left standing in a tunnel covered in vines. A crowd of people shuttled back and forth around them. On their right, an exasperated winged woman screamed into her phone, and then incinerated it in her fist. At the end of the tunnel, a herd of wild grocery carts ambled past. Boo ushered them to the side of the tunnel. A mechanical golden insect whirred to life above them, opening its stained glass wings and hovering so they were lit as if standing under a Tiffany lamp.
That was awesome, Aru, squealed Minnie.
She held out her elbow and Aru bumped it, grinning. Aru felt a little better, and it wasn't just because of those spring cakes. At least now she knew that if they had to see that starry-tailed monster anytime soon, they weren't totally unprepared. Boo fluttered to Minnie's shoulder.
Well, that's not how the legendary Arjuna would have done it.
I'm not Arjuna, said Aru, lifting her chin. I'm Aru.
Boo puffed out his chest.
I know.
17. The Library of A to Z. The tunnel led to a massive cavern that opened out into a grand library.
Books! Just what we need, said Minnie.
Her eyes might as well have been heart emojis.
When my mom told me stories about the Night Bazaar, this was the place I wanted to see most. All the books are enchanted. They cover everything and everyone.
Great, said Aru. She liked libraries. She liked going to the audiobook section and listening. And she liked pranking people by waiting until they pulled out a book, only to see her making strange faces in the empty space on the shelf. But this library made her feel uncertain. She had that prickly cold feeling that had followed her in the parking lot right after they'd gotten the first key. Aru slipped her hand around the golden ball in her pocket. It was warm to the touch, but thankfully not hot the way it had been when the sleeper had shown up before.
So the Bite of Adulthood key is somewhere in here, said Aru. Was she mistaken, or was the book design on her hand glowing?
Then by all means, meander slowly and ponderously until my feathers molt, said Boo.
I'm looking, said Aru defensively.
Easier said than done. The library was the size of a village. Shiny black stone formed the ceiling, Large windows cut into the walls looked out onto unusual settings. Through the first, Aru could see the depths of the ocean. A stingray glided past. Through the second, Aru could see the leaves of a dense jungle. The third window peered out over the skyline of New York City. Hundreds of shelves loomed before them. Aru watched, eyes wide, as the books hopped and fluttered around. Some of them even fought one another. A giant encyclopedia marked A to F squawked at a dictionary, and a book entitled What to Expect When You're Reincarnated from a Cockroach arched its spine and hissed at a bookmark.
Maybe this place is organized like a regular library, suggested Minnie.
She looked like she was in heaven, surrounded by all the books.
Adulthood starts with the letter A, so let's see if the shelves are alphabetical.
What if adulthood isn't a book? Asked Aru. Maybe it's hidden in something. A book isn't a key.
Neither is a sprig. I think a book would make sense, said Minnie quietly. They're keys to lots of stuff.
When Aru stopped to think about it, she had to admit this was true. She may not have liked the books she'd had to read for school, but she'd loved the stories her mom had read aloud to her. Those tales had unlocked things that ordinary metal keys never could. A particularly good book had a way of opening new spaces in one's mind. It even invited you to come back later and rummage through what you'd learned.
What do you think, Boo? Asked Aru.
He didn't respond. He was circling the ceiling. There was an agitated, restless quality to his movements. He moved jaggedly back and forth, as if he were trying to suss out something.
Seriously, Boo? Do you have to stretch out your wings now?
Must have been so tiring just sitting on our shoulders the whole time.
Shaking her head, Aru wandered over to the first aisle. Minnie had already pulled out two stools, stacked them one on top of the other, and climbed up to read the book spines. A few volumes leaned out, inspecting Minnie as closely as she was inspecting them.
I can't quite see the titles at the top, muttered Minnie.
Can you ask Boo to come help?
He's busy pecking at the ceiling or something, said Aru. But I'll try.
Boo?
He was still flying in an agitated manner. Beneath him, his shadow sprawled over the books. It didn't seem like an ordinary pigeon's shadow. This shadow had wings the size of small boats, and tail feathers that looked like trailing ribbons. Aru turned to look at the tunnel entrance and saw that all the people who had once been in the library had disappeared. They were alone. Aru frowned, looking upward for Boo again. The ceiling had changed. It seemed to be moving. The colors were swirling and melding. Aru realized that what she thought was polished marble was not stone at all, but skin. She'd been wrong about something else, too. They were definitely not alone. Boo soared back to them, squawking.
Run! It's him!
Minnie tumbled down from the two stools. They took off, racing toward the tunnel, but the opening had disappeared. Behind them, someone started chuckling softly.
Always so eager to run from your problems, aren't you?
Asked a silky voice.
Well, you're just children. I suppose that's to be expected.
Aru turned slowly, expecting to see the snake-like sleeper slithering toward her. But as it turned out, the sleeper could take many forms. Before her eyes, the skin from the ceiling dripped down, coalescing into the shape of a man. He no longer had a star-studded snake tail, but his hair was the same inky shade of night, and it looked as if there were stars caught in his hair. In the form of a man, he was tall and thin. He looked hungry. His cheekbones stuck out. He wore a black Sherwani jacket over dark jeans, and an empty birdcage swung from his hand. Aru frowned. Why would he carry something like that? Then she looked up at his eyes. They were strange. One was blue and the other was brown. She felt like she knew him from somewhere. How was that possible?
Hello, daughter of Indra and daughter of Dharmaraja, he said. Remember me? It's been a while. A couple millennia. And then some.
His voice took her back to the moment she lit the lamp. Aru, Aru, Aru. What have you done?
I apologize for not stopping to chat after you let me out of that drafty dia, Aru,
said the sleeper.
But I had business to attend to. Things to gather.
He grinned, revealing unnervingly sharp teeth.
But it seems I went to all that trouble for nothing. This won't be much of a fight.
We don't even want to... Aru started. He slammed his foot against the ground, and the earth rattled. Books fell off the shelves and scattered around them. One of them, entitled Afloat, flapped its endpapers, drifted to the ceiling, and refused to move, despite artful guile trying to tempt it back down with a bookmark.
Don't even think about interrupting me, he said. I've waited for ages, eons.
He glared at Aru.
Ever since your mother locked me into that miserable lamp.
My mother?
Who else would smile as she slid the knife into my chest?
The sleeper chided.
And you're just like her, aren't you? A liar. I saw you when you lit the lamp. Anything to impress your friends, right? What a coward you are, Aru Shah.
My mother is not a liar, shouted Aru.
You don't even know her,
sneered the sleeper. Aru didn't want to listen, but she felt a twist in her gut. All those times she had waited for her mother, the dinner she'd made going cold on the table, all those doors that had been closed in her face, all the questions that had been shushed. It was a different kind of pain when the hurt came not from a lie, but the truth. Her mother had hidden an entire world from her. She really didn't know her mom at all. The sleeper gestured to Minnie with a fake frown on his face, but he kept his gaze on Aru.
And what's this? Your little sister here didn't know that you summoned me? That you are the reason her whole family is in danger? That you are the cause of all this and not poor old me?
Aru risked a glance at Minnie. Her eyebrows were drawn together. Aru may have freed the sleeper, but she hadn't done it on purpose. Would Minnie ever believe her now? Aru couldn't get the words out. They were clogged by guilt. I can explain, Minnie, she said. Later. Minnie's face hardened, but she nodded. There was no point hashing it out now. Right before certain death. The sleeper's eyes narrowed. He dropped the birdcage beside him. It wasn't empty after all. Small clay figurines in the shape of horses and tigers rattled together as they hit the floor.
Give me the sprig of youth, he said.
Aru and Minnie started inching backward. Aru was aware of Boo flying in frantic circles above them, as if trying to signal something. She risked a glance up. Boo dipped, landing on a book with a silver spine. It was too far away for Aru to read, but she knew what it said. Adulthood. The second key was right over their heads. If they could just distract the sleeper, they could get it. Minnie caught Aru's eye and nodded once. Apparently, they had the same thought. Which would have been really cool if Minnie didn't also look as though she'd like to strangle Aru at the first chance. They wedged themselves between the stacks of A-shelves.
"How'd you find us?" asked Aru.
"Rakshas are very talkative," he said, smiling. "Two little girls entering the night bazaar with enchanted objects bearing the marks of Lord Indra and the Dharma Raja? How curious."
"What kind of name is Sleeper?" asked Aru. "Are you just really good at napping?"
He frowned. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Minnie touch her diamond bracelet.
"Or is it like a metaphor?"
pushed Aru, proud that she'd remembered the word from last week's English class.
"Maybe a bad nickname from middle school when you fell asleep on a test and all the ink got on your face?"
"Enough,"
he thundered.
"Where's the second key? You know what it is, don't you?"
Minnie slid her backpack to the floor, nudging it closer to Aru. When Minnie turned around, Aru saw that she had managed to tuck the sprig of youth into the back of her jeans. Aru felt as if she'd tapped into a wavelength that belonged only to her and Minnie. They moved in sync, their thoughts aligned.
"If you want the key, catch it!" shouted Aru.
She picked up the backpack and threw it into the air. The sleeper lunged after it, while Minnie tore off her bracelet. With a flick of her wrist, it expanded, flashing and shimmering. Cold flooded the air. Frost seeped out, lacing the floor. Minnie tossed the cloak of winter over the sleeper.
"I've got him! You go grab the you-know-what!" Minnie called to Aru.
Minnie wrestled with the cloak, her feet skidding across the floor. Underneath, the sleeper froze. But he wouldn't stay frozen solid for long. Already, cracks were forming in the ice, and his eyes were rolling furiously. Minnie pushed him, and he fell over on his side, knocking into the birdcage on the floor. It rolled down one of the library aisles.
"Over here!" shouted Boo from atop the books.
Aru really wished she could fly, but since she couldn't, she lost a couple of moments grabbing the stools, restacking them, and climbing to the top shelf. She was out of breath by the time she spotted the book. It stood apart from the other volumes, aloof and, if books could act that way, a little judgmental of its neighbors. Its title glowed in silver foil on the spine. Adulthood. Boo hopped onto her head and pecked at her hair, urging her to take it. Aru glanced at the other titles next to it. Adulation was singing. Pink hearts kept oozing from its pages. Adullamite hopped away, running toward the B titles, which flapped their pages to welcome it. A bite of adulthood. What was she supposed to do? Grab the book and actually sink her teeth into it? She glanced at Minnie, who was trying to keep the cloak tied over the frozen sleeper. But he was beginning to move. Shards of ice flew off him. Minnie met Aru's eyes and hollered, "Do it!" Boo soared down to help Minnie, leaving Aru on the shelf.
"What are you waiting for, Aru?" demanded Minnie.
"Ew, ew, ew," said Aru. She squeezed her eyes shut, grabbed the book, and bit into it. It squealed. She hadn't given much thought as to what a book might taste like. But adulthood had a strange flavor. Sweet and bitter at the same time, like candied orange peel. It reminded Aru of walking to school on a cold February morning, when the sun was bright but distant, and everything was a little too stark. She spat the bite of adulthood into her palm. The wet wad of paper transformed into a glowing silver coin. Aru shoved it in her pocket, then ran her tongue along her teeth, hating that she couldn't quite rid herself of the taste.
"I got it,"
she started, but her victory was short-lived. The sleeper had thrown off the cloak. Now it lay dull and limp on the floor, slowly melting.
"You are testing my patience," he hissed.
"You slept in a lamp for 100 years, and that's the best you could come up with?" shouted back Aru. What a cliche! All you're missing is the villain mustache. She was trying to keep his attention on her, while Minnie fumbled for another magical item from the seasons. But it wasn't Minnie who launched herself at him next. It was Boo.
Those, he snapped, are.
He pecked at the sleeper's eyes.
My,
he pooped.
Heroines!
Aru clambered down from the stools and snatched the backpack off the ground. Minnie was trying to shake the cloak of winter back into something that would tame the sleeper, but it stayed lifeless. Boo let out a loud, pained squawk. The sleeper had caught him in one hand. With the other hand, he wiped the bird poop off his head. He peered more closely at Boo. He didn't yell or scream. Instead, he laughed.
What has happened to you, old friend?
18. A strange case.
Friend?
Aru almost dropped the backpack.
You are much changed since you were the king of Subala.
Boo? What's he talking about? Asked Minnie. The sleeper smiled.
Boo? That's what they call you? Has all that guilt made you soft?
Something clicked in Aru's head. Subala wasn't Boo's name, but the name of his kingdom. She remembered Urvashi's laugh. If they really are Pandavas, then the irony that you are the one who has been chosen to help them delights me.
I get it, said the sleeper mockingly. Boo is short for Subala.
He turned to the girls, his eyebrows knitted in that, oh, I'm so sorry for you not way that only truly awful people can pull off.
His name isn't Subala. It's Shakuni. I suppose you could call him Shaki, in which case I imagine this might be a shocker.
He chuckled at his own joke, which is another thing that only truly awful people do. Grandparents, dads, and that one well-meaning but weird uncle are exceptions. Shakuni. Aru's heart went cold. She knew that name from the stories. It was the name of the deceiver, the sorcerer who led the eldest Pandava brother astray in a cursed game of dice, where he was forced to gamble away his entire kingdom. Shakuni started the great Kurukshetra War. His revenge consumed his own kingdom. He was one of the Pandavas' greatest enemies. And she had let him sit on her shoulder. Minnie had fed him an Oreo. They'd cared for him.
Your quarrel is not with them,
Boo said to the sleeper.
My, you have become quite the addled one, said the sleeper. You're telling me you have actually been tasked to help the Pandavas? What is this, your penance for committing so horrible a sin?
No, said Boo,
and this time he looked at Aru and Minnie.
It is not my penance. It is my honor.
Aru felt a flush of pride in the same instant that she felt a stab of misgiving. Nice words, but why should she believe them? Poppy and Ariel had been nice to her up until the moment when they weren't.
You have gone soft, said the sleeper, frowning.
I've grown stronger, in a way that perhaps you can no longer understand. People change. You used to believe that most of all, said Boo. Or have you forgotten?
People don't change. They just grow weaker, said the sleeper.
His voice was as icy as the cloak of winter.
For the sake of old times, I will give you one chance. Join me. Help my cause. I will make us gods and end this age.
This is it. Aru waited for Boo to betray them. She braced herself to feel a rush of hurt,
But Boo didn't hesitate. His voice was loud and strong when he said,
"No."
Aru's heart squeezed. The sleeper growled and threw Boo across the room. The pigeon hit a shelf with a loud smack and slumped to the floor. Minnie and Aru screamed, but the moment they tried to run toward him, a wall of air forced them back. Aru braced herself, her hand flying to the pendant that Monsoon had given her. She wanted to throw it at him, but all it could do was aim right. Making sure a rock hit the sleeper on his nose wouldn't do much good if he could just shake his head and keep going. She needed something bigger or more powerful. The sleeper prowled toward them. As Aru was scanning the collection for a giant book to hit him with, the biggest one, Atlas, growled at her from the lowest shelf. Minnie let out a scream. She tore off her headband and threw it like a frisbee at the sleeper. It caught on his ear. For one moment, his eyes went all black. But then he recovered and the headband vanished.
"That was your best effort?"
he asked, laughing.
"A headband? I'm trembling with fear. Now let's be honest. I could kill you easily. Two little girls. No training, no valor. Do you really think you can get the celestial weapons?"
Aru felt her face turning red. Indra had claimed her as his daughter. Maybe she'd been lightheaded from standing up in the clouds when it happened, but she'd seen, at least she thought she'd seen, the statue of Indra smile at her, as if he was pleased. Remembering that gave her the courage to say, "We were chosen by the gods." Then again, what was with the golden ball? Aru didn't have any experience with dads, but she was pretty sure giving your kid a glowing ping-pong ball to fight demons was like getting pocket fuzz and spare change instead of an allowance. The sleeper scoffed.
"The gods would never trust you to do anything. Just look at you."
The more he talked, the angrier Aru became. She wasn't going to back down. They had something the sleeper didn't. "Threaten us all you want, but you need us to get those keys, don't you?" asked Aru. "You can't see them. You don't even know what they are." The sleeper grew quiet and stroked his chin thoughtfully. Finally, he said,
"You're right."
Aru couldn't believe it. Had she talked him down? The sleeper raised his hand, curling his fingers. Boo zoomed into his palm. The bird wasn't moving.
"I do need you,"
he said.
"I would have taken the key you have now, but it may lead you to the other two. And it doesn't matter that I can't see them, because you are going to deliver all three to me by the new moon."
He squeezed Boo, and Minnie began to whimper. The sleeper turned toward her.
"I know so much about you now. From listening to your heartbeats,"
he said with mock sweetness.
"Your father wears a cross beneath his shirt and an agimat necklace passed down from his family in the Philippines. Your brother hides a photo of his soccer teammate beneath his pillow, and when you found it, he swore you to secrecy. Your mother's hair smells like sandalwood."
Minnie's face turned white. Then the sleeper faced Aru. Something flashed in his eyes.
"And you? Well, you and I might as well be family."
"What are you talking about?" Aru blurted. "You're crazy. I..." He cut her off with a look.
"Summon me just before the new moon, or I will do more than just freeze your loved ones."
"Never," said Aru. "We'll fight if we have to, and..."
"Tisk, tisk," said the sleeper. "Before you even think about fighting me, know that I am gathering my own friends."
He gave them a cruel smile.
"And trust me, you won't like meeting them."
he disappeared, taking Boo with him. For a whole minute, Aru and Minnie didn't budge. Aru felt like she was spinning even though she was standing still. Too many things were zipping through her head. Boo had fought for them just now. But once he had been the Pandava's enemy, was that why he was being forced to help them in this life, in the form of a pigeon, no less? And then there was the fact that the sleeper knew her mom, and Minnie's family. How was that possible? Around them, the books began to run about, desperate to restore some order, their pages ruffled like birds settling back down to sleep. Without the sleeper covering it, the ceiling now looked like open sky. Bruised purple storm clouds drifted across it. Aru scowled. It didn't make sense for the magic around them to look so beautiful when she felt so ugly. What was the point in even trying to get to the Kingdom of Death without Boo? The sleeper was right. She had caused all this, and she had failed everyone. "Why?" croaked Minnie. She didn't have to say the rest. Why had Aru lied about the lamp? Why had Boo hidden his past? Why was any of this happening to them? Aru was tired. Tired of lying. Tired of imagining the world as it could be and not as it was. She was tired of making herself bigger and better in her own head, when it was clear that she never would or could be in her real life. She pulled the coin that she'd gotten from adulthood out of her pocket. It had faded to dull silver. Aru couldn't meet Minnie's gaze. I knew a little of what would happen if I lit the lamp. My mom had told me, but I didn't really believe her. And I lit it anyway. What the sleeper said was true. I did it to impress some classmates that I thought I wanted as friends. Minnie's shoulders shook. My family is in danger because of you, she said. She didn't cry or yell, and that made it so much worse. You lied about everything, didn't you? Were you just laughing at me the whole time? Aru looked her in the eyes now. What? No, of course not. Why should I believe you? Minnie cut in. You said you thought I was brave, and that it wasn't a bad thing to be the daughter of death. She stared at Aru as if she could see straight through her. You even told me that you wouldn't leave me behind. Minnie, I meant all of that. I don't care what you say because you're a liar, Aru Shah. Minnie snatched the bite of adulthood from Aru. Hey, what are you doing? What's it look like I'm doing? Said Minnie. She put the coin in her backpack along with the sprig of youth. I'm finishing this. I have to try to save my family. But you need me, said Aru. She had that hot, stuffed inside a sausage feeling that always happened before she cried. She didn't want to cry. Maybe, said Minnie sadly. But I just don't trust you. Minnie pressed the image of the last key on her hand, the wave of water shimmering across her fingers. Minnie, wait! She stepped through a cut of light. Aru tried to grab her hand, but only found air. Minnie had disappeared. Aru was left standing by herself. The books around her tittered and gossiped. There was no place left for her here in the other world. The sleeper didn't even think they were enough of a threat to bother with killing them. She should have felt grateful, but she just felt invisible. Useless. On top of that, Boo was hurt, and Aru had earned and lost a sister in a matter of days. At the thought of days, Aru slowly turned over her hand. She felt like she was being handed back a quiz that she'd definitely failed, and was doing her best to turn over the paper as slowly as possible. What the heck was that? Whatever number it was, it definitely wasn't the number 6. Minnie would know what it meant, but Minnie wasn't here. Aru was running out of days, and if ever there was a time to cry, it was now.
but she couldn't. She was too tired and angry. She paced. There was no way she could go back to the museum. What would she do? Sit under the elephant and wait for the world to end?